Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio.
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
Everybody, listen carefully.
This guy gets it.
Radio has changed our lives.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the National Predators.
I'm Roman Yossi of the National Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the National Predators.
I'm Eustace Aros of the National Predators.
I'm Rocco Grimaldi of the National Predators.
And you're listening to the Renegades of Puck.
Broadcasting live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all skate around the NHL with all the news, highlights, scores, and more.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predator,
and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to Smashville.
It's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right. It's a Predneck takeover of the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier, and the Renegades of Puck will be joining the show throughout the day today. You will hear from Mostradamus. You will hear from Sean C. Smith. You will hear from the Ultimate One. You will also hear from Nashville Predators television analyst and former goaltender Chris Mason. You will also hear from our Eastern Front commander, Charlie Burris, over there in Knoxville, keeping an eye on the mountains and making sure those Carolina Hurricanes are held at bay as the Battle of I-40 is underway. We have an NHL playoff bracket. We have an NHL playoff schedule. We have all the details and all the information that you need to know right here on Predneck Nation Radio. Thank you so much for jumping in the trenches here on Nashville Sports Radio. Remember, you can always support this radio station, and you should be doing so. For the last several weeks, they have gone out on that ledge and given you Monday through Friday full-time Predneck Nation Radio. That means Puck Talk, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., or better said and easier said, if it's 5 o'clock on your clock, the Renegades of Puck are on Nashville Sports Radio. So make sure you are supporting this radio station by going to Twitter and tweeting to them at Nash Sports Radio, giving them a like on Facebook, Nashville Sports Radio, where we have live video streaming from the Predneck Nation Renegades of Puck Command and Control Center right now. You can get a good look at what the insides of our studios look like by going to the Nashville Sports Radio Facebook page, and we would appreciate if you did that. On demand, you can always catch it at the Nashville Sports Radio SoundCloud page if you can't listen at 5 on your clock here at Nashville Sports Radio. WNSR.com streams this show completely live and 100% for free, so we would also appreciate if you go to WNSR.com, and while you're on WNSR.com, why don't you check out that Predneck Nation link? That will take you to all of the information about this radio show. Some of our bios are up there. You can get a good look at the Renegades of Puck hockey jersey by Rebirth Sports, and you can also go back and check our homework. 10-plus years now, 500-plus episodes here on Nashville Sports Radio. We've delivered the goods, and we're going to continue doing so as playoff madness continues settling in. Please, everybody, support this radio station. We want to keep doing this. We want to keep going well beyond the first round of the playoffs. We want to go past the Stanley Cup. We want to do this forever. We have ambitions here in the trenches, and we will not stop until we've peeled them off one by one from all of you milquetoast men. Let's get into it. The playoff bracket is set. We finally know exactly when everybody is going to play. And the first playoff game in this bracket is going to take place Saturday between the Boston Bruins and the Washington Capitals. Sunday, we will see the Islanders and the Penguins get their series underway. Minnesota will be at Vegas on Sunday as well. Tampa Bay will be in Florida. Then on Monday night, Boston will be at Washington for Game 2. So before the Nashville Predators even take the ice from the NHL playoffs, the Boston Bruins and the Washington Capitals will be underway in Game 2. The Preds and the Carolina Hurricanes will get started on Monday night in Carolina. Also, St. Louis will be at Colorado on Monday. And the other two series that I did not mention so far, well, that will be Toronto versus Montreal and Edmonton versus Winnipeg. Those series do not start until much later in the week because the North Division is actually not finished playing their regular season yet and will not be finished playing their regular season until Sunday afternoon. So we've got our playoff bracket set. Looking at the North, once they finally do get underway, the 1-4 matchup is Toronto and Montreal. The 2-3 matchup is Edmonton and Winnipeg. In the Central Division, of course, you are extremely familiar with these matchups already. 1-4 is Carolina-Nashville. And, of course, the 2-3 is the Florida Panthers hosting the Tampa Bay Lightning. On the other side of the bracket in the East Division, the Pittsburgh Penguins are the number one seed facing off against the New York Islanders. And then you will see the Washington Capitals and the Boston Bruins. The Western Division will see the Colorado Avalanche, your President's Trophy winning Colorado Avalanche and the number one overall seed in the NHL playoffs, will take on the St. Louis Blues, and then Vegas will take on Minnesota. That sets up your bracket. And remember, this is a bit of a different year. Everything will reseed after the divisional playoffs come to their conclusion. So after round two, everything will be reseeded. And how does that affect the Nashville Predators if they are still alive and eligible at that point in time? Well, only the St. Louis Blues and the Winnipeg Jets are lower seeded by league rankings. So the Nashville Predators ultimately will have one of the most difficult paths to getting to a Stanley Cup championship that any team could possibly face. They could potentially face off against the number one seed Carolina Hurricanes. Then they would have to take on the winner of the 2-3 matchup and then would be reseeded potentially to take on the President's Trophy winning Colorado Avalanche in the conference final. What a path that would be. God, that would be so much fun. Let's get into everything about this. The Nashville Predators schedule is finally available to us. I just mentioned Monday nights when Game 1 will take place at Carolina, and then Wednesday night will be Game 2 also in Carolina. The Nashville Predators will come on home for Game 3 at Bridgestone Arena on Friday night, May the 21st. Then Sunday the 23rd, of course, they will be hosting the Carolina Hurricanes there. We don't have the start time on Game 4 yet. Game 5, if necessary, will be the following Tuesday on the 25th, and then Thursday the 27th would be Game 6, and then Saturday night would be Game 7 in Carolina on the 29th of May. Now, something interesting and unique that is coming out about this series, of course, there are a lot of nuances to it, but the crowd size is something that has come up, and Nashville, of course, is relieving restrictions as we speak. There will be over 12,000 fans able to attend Game 3 and Game 4 at Bridgestone Arena, and the attendance level could increase after those games even. Carolina, however, will only be allowed to have 6,000 fans in their arena, which is normally 18,860. And Rod Brindamore, the coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, is openly advocating for the fans to be able to get back in the building because he cited that it is an advantage for the Nashville Predators. You should check out Gentry Estes' article over in the Tennessean today. He's got a good breakdown on this. But Rod Brindamore is saying that the Nashville Predators have an advantage because the barn was full for those last two regular season games, and he said there was definitely an influence on the game. We all know how loud those Carolina Hurricanes rinks can get when those guys get rocking and those bunch of jerks get their storm surge going. So for the Nashville Predators, Rod Brindamore at least at this point saying there's an advantage for the number 4 seed Nashville Predators going into this series. Now, we've got a lot to talk about when it comes to these two teams and the matchups. The season series between the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes, of course, 8 games played between the two. The Preds went 2-5-1 against this Carolina Hurricanes team, picked up 5 out of a total 16 points, but were outscored 24-17. Going back and looking at the individual games, it was the 18th of January where the Preds fell 4-2 on home ice. Aho, the dominant player for the Canes in that game with a goal and an assist. Arvidsson, a goal and an assist, and I've got good news on Victor Arvidsson before the end of this segment. On the 2nd of March would be the next time the Preds would play the Carolina Hurricanes. Unfortunately, it would be the same score at Bridgestone Arena. We would see UC Saros get injured in that game on a hit by Nino Niederreiter behind the net. That has been a storyline we have talked about throughout the season. Niederreiter going to continue to be a pest, but the Stampede line is the response and the answer. Pekarinen came into that game in relief and went 16 out of 17. Ekholm and Yarncroak got your goals, but unfortunately, Sebastian Aho, again, a dominant performance with 2 goals in that game. The Preds would go to Carolina for the first time on the 9th of March. They'd fall 3-2 in overtime. Pekarinen would take the loss, making 32 saves. And wow, Sebastian Aho, can't believe it. He's on the score sheet dominating again. A goal and an assist in this game as well. Stahl added 2 games. The Preds would get run out of the rink in the next game on the 11th of March, 5-1 in favor of the Canes. Geeky would get his first 2 goals of the season. On the 15th of April, you would see the Nashville Predators go into to Carolina and drop a game 4-1. UC Saros taking the loss in 25 saves. And then the Preds would fall again in Carolina 3-1. UC Saros this time having to make 45 saves on 47 shots against 24 of those shots against came in the first period alone. And then the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes closed out the regular season series against each other at the end of the regular season. It was the Predators defeating Carolina 3-1 to clinch their playoff spot on May the 8th. UC Saros with the victory. Light workload, but high danger workload in that game. 21 out of 22 Cunning, two goals to help push the Preds into the playoffs. And then what was essentially an elevated exhibition, a taxi squad game, but more importantly, Pekka-Rinne night at Bridgestone Arena, the 10th of May, saw the Preds defeat the Carolina Hurricanes 5-0. Pekka-Rinne getting 30 saves in his 60th career shutout. And Matt Duchene, critical, getting two goals in this game. Hopefully that is just the beginning of things to come for Matt Duchene. He is certainly speaking in a very positive way since that performance. The injury report, I am very excited to say, thanks to the intel from Sean C. Smith over at the practice yesterday, Victor Arvidsson was out there on the ice. We do not have an official update, but he is out there. He is skating. And with the Preds still having a couple of days before even traveling, we should know everything about this. So the Nashville Predators could be looking at all of their regulars and plenty of reserves being back healthy, ready to go. When you have to go a best of 7x4, and I laid out the path and how difficult it might be for this Nashville Predators team, you are going to need every single healthy body able, willing to go, and dialed in at any moment, because you never know when you might get tapped on the shoulder and told it's your turn to go up. We saw Richardson come back in the lineup and have a lot of really good touches. He is a playoff performer. So looking forward to seeing the players that came back in the final 10 games of the season from injury, Forsberg and Tolvanen and Carrier and Olivier. We saw all these guys get back into the lineup and we saw them start getting some games under the belt. Now a couple of practices. Hopefully everybody is going to be full speed ahead come game one, because I'm serious. The Nashville Predators are going to need every single player on this roster performing at an extremely high level. Of course they are. This cannot be all about UC Saros. It's easy to say UC Saros is what got you there, but UC Saros is not going to be the only player that can carry you through this thing. You are going to have to play some of the best hockey that you've ever played as a team. Looking at the numbers between these two teams, yes, the final regular season statistics are very lopsided, but everything resets coming into game one. And while the special teams number might look like the worst lopsided portion of this, the Nashville Predators actually played much better on special teams against the Carolina Hurricanes down the stretch of the regular season, especially when it comes to the penalty kill. But this special teams matchup will be something you will hear about extensively throughout the preview of this playoff series and throughout all of the analysts on television talking about it. The power play for the Carolina Hurricanes finished the second best in the league, converting 42 times this season, while the Nashville Predators had the 24th best power play in the league, converting 28 times. The penalty kill, though, the Preds 29th, giving up 42 power play goals against this season, while the Canes were the third best penalty kill in the NHL, only giving up 26 power play goals against. Again, these numbers are incredibly lopsided, but everything resets now that we are at the best of seven and game one. Goals against for the Nashville Predators, 2.75 is 12th. 2.39 for the Canes is third. Goals for the Nashville Predators finished the season at 2.70. That is 21st in the NHL. 3.13 for the Canes was 11th. And then again, shots against, 6th for the Canes. Shots for, 5th for the Canes. This is a highly impressive team. They competed for the President's Trophy up until the final games of the regular season. And those President's Trophy standings worked out like this. Colorado at 82, Vegas at 82, Carolina finished with 80, and Florida at 79. So for Rod Brind'Amour, if he had gone for it on Monday night and he had put all of his starters in there trying to win the President's Trophy, he still would have finished in third behind those two teams because of the tiebreakers and all of these things. So for the Nashville Predators, we now know exactly when things will get started. We know the schedule, and we, for the most part, know who the major players are going to be. It's going to come down to UC Saros and the Nashville Predators decor being able to slow down the incredibly impressive offense of this Carolina Hurricanes team. There's going to have to be an investment in pain and possibly a pain monopoly by this Nashville Predators team, because every hit you put on a Carolina Hurricanes Hurricanes player early in the series, in game one, in period one. It all comes back down the stretch as the Carolina Hurricanes start to get tired, as they start to get beat up, as they start to get worn down a little bit. That's how you take advantage of a team over the course of a best of seven. It cannot be something where you're going to go out there and try to outrace and outskate the Carolina Hurricanes on the first puck drop of game one and think that you're going to be able to compete in a series like that. This is going to be about bringing the Canes into the trenches. This is going to be about bringing Carolina to hockey trench warfare. And with the Stampede line leading the way, there is no doubt this Nashville Predators team will have every opportunity to compete in the Battle of I-40 for something incredibly special.
Very few times in my career have I ever dropped the gimmick for a set period of time when putting on the public face, and most of the time, all of the time, that surrounded something sad, but something that deserves respect. And I believe that this is one of those times. As of right now, we don't know. We don't know if this is it. We don't know if he'll come back for another year. But everybody has their suspicions. Everybody has their reasons. He has his reasons. But let me tell you, 2008... seems like so long ago. And I know that we've had a tremendous string of goalies that came prior to Pekka, but none of them were Pekka. And it just seems like Pekka always was and always will be. It just is. Nobody plays that position better than Pekka Rinne. When Pekka is on his game, he is an absolute wall. He has given more to this city and this team than we will ever, ever know. Everybody in Nashville who's a hockey fan, hell, even some who aren't, have a Pekka Rinne story to tell. So really, right now, what it all boils down to, and Charlie, get that dump button ready, is what we need to do as a team and as a fan base is get that man his cup. And that means there's one thing left to do, and that is win the whole thing.
Hockey players are as unique as the game itself, and your uniform should be tailored to fit you. Rebirth Sports is your sports apparel tailor. From shells, bags, warm-ups, hats, hoodies, branding, and more, let Rebirth Sports be your custom hockey tailor.
And don't forget to tell them they do more than just hockey.
Rebirth Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rebirth Sports and Predneck Nation, a match made in hockey.
I'm Yusuf Saros of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the trenches with the Renegades of Puck here on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonye. Yusuf Saros bringing us back from break, and we'll talk about him in just a minute, but why did the Ultimate Predator go on about Pekka Rinne leading us into that first break? Well, let me tell you why. Because that living legend has a front row seat for what could be his last opportunity as a Nashville Predator to win a Stanley Cup. And to see the guy that he has helped along and assisted and mentored, you know how proud he would be. Do you know what a special moment it would be to see one of the athletes on the Mount Rushmore of professional sports in this state get to have that seat and see it all the way through to the end? I get so fired up and emotional just thinking about seeing that guy riding a police horse down Broadway. The possibilities. So Pekka Rinne will have an opportunity as the backup goaltender of the Nashville Predators to move forward here and watch his understudy, Yusuf Saros, hopefully win a Stanley Cup for the Nashville Predators. We know the schedule. We know the bracket. We know exactly what's going to happen now with the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes. I had an opportunity this week to go out on the F&M Bank phone line and talk to a bunch of Renegades of Puck, and I've got a bunch of great opinions for you. I had a chance to talk to Mastrodamus, the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation Radio, and I asked him about Yusuf Saros, what his game plan was, what his concerns were. And Yusuf Saros finishes the season after 36 games skated with a record of 21-11-1, a 2.28 goals against average, a 927 save percentage. And this will be his first significant opportunity in the NHL playoffs as a starting franchise goaltender. This was Mastrodamus' preview of Yusuf Saros for round one.
Biggest concern for me is what he has done in the playoffs previously against Arizona last season. Very limited, but did not play up to par. A lot of questions, including myself, wondering why Pekka Rinne wasn't put in there when Saros was not playing quite up to snuff. But another thing is this ridiculous hot streak he's been on. I can't even call it a hot streak. His ridiculous play over the last 3 months. You worry about this long layoff now. So you played Monday. You know, he hasn't played since Saturday now. We're already talking Thursday, and the schedule's not even out yet. So looking at least a week between starts for UC Saros, so that's a little bit concerning, having that long of a layoff to kind of break the run he's been on lately. So that's my biggest concern for him. But he's been ridiculous this season, and so far, anyway, it doesn't seem like anything has been able to stop him.
Now that we have the schedule, we can tell you it will be 9 days between starts for UC Saros as the starting goaltender of the Nashville Predators, and we sure hope that that does not hurt his momentum. He was as hot as any goaltender in the NHL the final 25 games of the season, and that's why the Nashville Predators find themselves as the number 4 seed in the Central Division. By the way, you can find Mastrodamus on Twitter at GreekGoalie35, and because he is the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation Radio, you should definitely be following him and interacting with him and getting more opinions. I also asked Mastrodamus to break down the Carolina Hurricanes goaltenders, a wealth of options for coach Rod Brind'Amour. Nedeljkovic coming onto the scene this year, 15-5-3, a 1.90 goals against average, and 932 save percentage. Also, James Reimer and Peter Mrazek, goaltenders that have had great historical success in their careers against this Nashville Predators team. Here's what Mastrodamus had to say about the Canes goaltenders.
Nedeljkovic and Mrazek have basically split duties for the most part since Mrazek returned from injury on April 4th. Nedeljkovic, 9 starts. Mrazek, 8 starts. Reimer, he sprinkled in there for 3 starts. I don't think Reimer's an option at this point anyway. Don't be surprised that Rod Brind'Amour, in his coaching career, has switched up goaltenders when he doesn't think the guy has playing quite up to par. So we saw that a couple seasons ago. Mrazek was pulled for Curtis McElhinney during their playoff stretch against Boston, trying to switch things up. Interestingly enough, he's going to have that very difficult decision of who plays in net. Does he go with the more experience of Peter Mrazek, or someone who up until Monday basically had dominated the Preds in his career, looked very, very shaky, did not look comfortable at all? Or do you go with Nedeljkovic, who has never appeared in a playoff game, but, like you mentioned, the stats, 932 save percentage, sub 2.0 goals against. Very interesting choice for him. And I personally think he's going to go with Nedeljkovic in game one just because of the 2-game set in Nashville, who played better. I think that was kind of his way of thinking starting Saturday and Monday. Nedeljkovic clearly played better than Mrazek did against the Preds, so I think that's going to be the way he leans. Very similar to John Hines last season. Does he go with Saros or Reed with youth versus experience? And he went with Saros, so I think Rod Brind'Amour, at least for game one, goes with Nedeljkovic, but the hook will be pretty quick if Nedeljkovic starts to falter.
That was Mastrodamus, the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation Radio, giving you a breakdown of UC Saros and his concerns about the 9-day layoff, and also laying out what the Carolina Hurricanes might do in net. It's more complicated when it comes to the Carolina Hurricanes because they've not had that playoff success yet. So Rod Brind'Amour is going to go with whatever goaltender is going to get hot and whatever goaltender is going to give him the best option to beat the Nashville Predators in this best of seven. We've talked about the pressure mostly being on the Carolina Hurricanes team, and it is. They've been building for several seasons now to this point. They have yet to have any playoff success, and they are expected to be one of the top contenders in the NHL for the Stanley Cup this season. Not only winning the division, but they competed for a President's Trophy up until the final weekend of this season. So, for the Nashville Predators, how are they going to handle facing off against the Carolina Hurricanes, and how are they going to beat the Carolina Hurricanes in this best of seven? Well, there was nobody better to jump in the trenches with me and help me understand that than Sean C. Smith from ontheforecheck.com. The intel you need to know, and here it is.
We've just had 2 games against the Carolina Hurricanes, and the game plan that worked against them the first 2 times should work again. You've got to remember, you are not going to outspeed this Carolina team. The main goal of any game plan the Predators have should be to wear the Hurricanes down. Getting into a race with Carolina is only going to wear you down and hurt you. You aren't going to win that speed contest. So what you want to do is play with an edge. It's the only way you can wear them down. When you play aggressive physically, your goal is that your opponent has to earn every inch of ice they gain. Nothing is given. Forechecking is going to be very important. When the Preds lose control of the puck in the offensive zone, they're going to want to immediately go on the forecheck and get it back, or, like I just said, make them earn their way out of the zone. And when the Canes make it into your defensive zone, jump on the back check and make them earn the right to get set up. And if they're able to get through the back check and do manage to get set up, put up a wall of defense in front of the net and defend your goalie. There's no reason to go easy on this team. The Predators knew coming into the last 2 games that a playoff berth meant a potential seven-game series against the Hurricanes. So they went ahead and started sanding off the rough edges. They forced Carolina to start putting some mileage on their speedy players, and even took the opportunity to assert themselves physically when it came to the guys on the Canes that will look to play the heavy role. It brought me great pleasure to see Matthew Olivier getting physical with Nino Niederreiter the other night. It lets me know that physicality is definitely going to be a deciding factor in this series. The Predators have to go into the series knowing they're in for a long, hard ride. And just like they've been strongest when they do all the right things for two periods so they can profit in the third, they'll need to focus on the fact that the work they put in on game one will pay off in game two. And the work they put in on game two will pay off in game three. And I could keep going on, but I think you know what I'm trying to say.
What he's trying to say is the Nashville Predators need to make an investment in pain. They need to create a pain monopoly in that Stampede line under the financial advisement of Janot, Olivier, and Sissons. We'll be making those investments starting off the first puck drop because they have started each and every game since the Stampede line has really started to assert their dominance out there on the ice. Not only are they starting the game and setting the tone and building the pace, but they are setting it for every other one of those lines to come out and mirror image what they are doing. It is becoming almost indistinguishable between some of these lines for the Nashville Predators as they cycle and rotate. And you can see sometimes six, seven, eight players by the end of a full 2 minute dominance when this Stampede line gets things going in the right direction. Sean C. Smith bringing up something very important right there. If you bring the pain and bring the jam to this Carolina Hurricanes team starting in game one, you will wear them down over the course of a seven-game series. And what are their advantages going into the seven-game series? Suddenly start to go away and the gap closes between where this Predators team is and where this Canes team is. That's what I anticipate, and that's what Sean C. Smith is describing right there. I also talked to Sean C. Smith from ontheforecheck.com about returning players to the lineup. Great news. Victor Arvidsson skating, looking like he may be available, hopefully for game one. That means many of the Nashville Predators' big-time players who were out injured for extensive amounts of time are all back in the lineup right now and are all options and all eligible. It's going to be very difficult for John Hines to make these decisions. I talked to Sean Smith about that very thing, and here was his response.
Depth is incredibly important in this series or in any playoff series. And one of the, if you can say it's an upside to having a lot of injuries this season, is that the Predators have had a really good opportunity to see what they have when it comes to organizational depth. Matthew Olivier's come back, and he can slot in on the Stampede line. And while he may not bring as much scoring prowess as Tanner Janot, he's definitely someone that will make you think twice about stepping out of line or taking liberties after the whistle with Saros or Rinne. Brad Richardson has a lot of playoff experience. He's a wizard at faceoffs, and he'll probably play in the bottom six. He's a solid grinder and embraces the heavy style of play the team has taken on as an identity this season. Alex Carrier, who I believe has finally arrived in the NHL for good, can step into any role on defense and play at a very high level. He's going to be a solid contributor. Jeremy Davies has been able to step in when needed and performs very well defensively. There have been a few games where I've been able to see him play in person, and his hockey IQ is through the roof. But, of course, Dante Fabbro coming back solidifies those top two pairings and should allow the defensive core to return to some sense of normalcy after those three pairings have had to deal with the lion's share of injuries this season. And even though he wasn't injured, he just hadn't played in a while, if there's one person I've seen come in and do magic every time he's on the ice, that's Rocco Grimaldi. And one of the things I've seen him do when he comes out is speed through that neutral zone and create offense. And if you're looking for someone to get across that blue line quickly, Rocco Grimaldi may be the guy that gets the job done.
That last regular season home game against the Carolina Hurricanes, Rocco Grimaldi made his case by showing off those wheels. And Sean is right. When Grimaldi gets an opportunity after being out of the lineup for a while, he comes back in and he contributes. Don't forget, Rocco Grimaldi has a four-goal game this season. And those wheels, again, I'm going to keep bringing it up, against a speedy team that loves to transition and go through the neutral zone, a player like Rocco Grimaldi, maybe he's not the biggest guy in the world, and maybe he can't bring the pain, but he sure can outskate you, and he can help this Nashville Predators team. Again, another very difficult decision for the head coach, John Hines, to make. Earlier this week, I also had the opportunity to go out to the F&M Bank phone line and talk to Nashville Predators television analyst and member of the High Council of Renegades, and I can't thank this dude enough. You guys saw the video that he put out wearing the Renegades of Puck hockey jersey from Rebirth Sports. I know all of you saw it. That's one of the coolest things that's happened in the trenches. And Chris Mason deserves all the respect in the world. What he has done to transition from goaltender in the NHL to broadcaster in the short amount of time that he has done it, and as good as he is at it, man, that guy is world class in every shape and way. And you can find plenty of examples of other guys that tried to make the same transition, and it did not go very well. We love C. Mace here in the trenches. When I had a chance to talk to him earlier this week, he had some thoughts on the upcoming series against the Carolina Hurricanes, and here are those thoughts.
I think that, you know, you saw the last two games. You have to keep them in the trenches. That's kind of one of the themes, I think, going into this series. You have to make it a street fight. You know, if you take penalties and you put them on the power play, or if you open it up and, you know, you're not as disciplined in your system and your defensive side of the game, they can make you pay. They got a lot of talented players. They're probably the fastest team in the league, top to bottom. They can fly. They can make plays. They work hard. But I think we've seen the last couple games the kind of effect that the Preds' physicality has had on them. They'll work hard and they'll get physical, but they can't get to the level that the Preds can. And I think you start, you know, getting in an opponent's head if you continually wear them down, and you every time you're going to finish your check and there's a scrum and you have five gold jerseys in there. And this is a different year and a type of team that we haven't seen for a very long time with the Predators. Is they can stand in there and they have the edge physicality. They have guys that, you know, that Carolina can't match in that department. You know, when you look at Janot and Trennan, Colton Sissons and Matthew Olivier, and you look at their back end and the way that they play the game, Carolina doesn't have an answer for that if you can keep them in that type of hockey game. So, and the impact that they've had is the rest of the team plays like that. The rest of the team is playing that physical brand of hockey. And if you get Ryan Johansson engaged, you remember him in the playoffs in 2017 battling Ryan Kessler for six games, you know, and that was an all-out war that series, and they won that. And, you know, he was a huge part of that because he was engaged in that, and he can be dominant when he plays like that. You know, Matt Duchene, you see him, he's had a tough season, but he's coming around. And he's a guy that they're going to need to make an impact. If you get power play opportunities, you've got Forsberg who's starting to find his groove. And Ellie Tolvanen actually looked really good last game. It's taken him a little bit to get back into it. So if you can, you know, chip in on the power play and special teams and you keep them in the trenches, I think that they have a chance to beat Carolina.
Nashville Predators television color analyst, former goaltender Chris Mason, member of the High Council of Renegades. He wears the number 30 on the roster for the High Council of Renegades. And a lot of similar themes right there from exactly what I've been saying and what Sean C. Smith is saying. Mace is also saying an investment in pain by the Stampede line is going to be a difference maker for this Nashville Predators team. And one thing I was not able to bring up or highlight from my conversations with Sean this week, we'd also like you to remember that the Nashville Predators' recent stretch of physical play by the Stampede line is mostly clean play. Lots of big, tough, strong hits out there on the ice while not suffering from the same consequences and problems that the Nashville Predators went through in the first 20 games of the season, which was consistently taking awful penalties all over the ice. So the Nashville Predators are able to bring that physical edge without going over the line and getting themselves in the penalty box, because of course that sets you up for a whole different spectrum of bad things that could potentially happen with one of the best penalty kill, with one of the best power play units in the entire NHL. You heard from Mostradamus, Sean C. Smith, and Chris Mason all on the F&M Bank phone line in this segment right here. Well, me, I'm in the Strike In Spare Family Fun Center Studios. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. I've got something very special coming up next. I've got a chance to get some intel from the Eastern Front of the trenches. Charlie Burris is going to join me from Knoxville. I've got a couple of unique questions, theories, some things that I've been thinking about for a long time, and I need to know if those Canes are trying to come over the mountains, because the battle of I-40 is here. Playoff madness, my friends, my good Renegades, it is upon us. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. This is Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
Against all better judgment and no half-stepping, Predneck Nation is now full-time. Nashville Sports Radio is serving up the best coverage of your Nashville Predators. When the clock hits 5, the Renegades of Puck are on the air twice a day, a.m. or p.m. Every weekday at 5, Crazy Charlie and the Renegades of Puck give you Predneck Nation. If the clock says 5, Predneck Nation is on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio here on Nashville Sports Radio. You are indeed in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. Thank you so much to Sean C. Smith, Mostradamus, Chris Mason, the Ultimate One, all for joining me in the trenches here on Predneck Nation Radio. Get us all set for the Game 1 and Best of 7 series against the Carolina Hurricanes team coming up starting on Monday. We'll review the schedule here before we wrap up the schedule, and we'll get you the information that you need to know. But for now, something very special to me, someone I've wanted to talk to for a long time here on this radio show. He has been monitoring the trenches for me over in the Eastern Front. He is a good friend, Charlie Burris. We cover college football together for many years, which is how we got to know each other. We have many antics from things like SEC Media Days down in Alabama, and it's so great to have him as part of Predneck Nation Radio here this morning on Nashville Sports Radio. Charlie Burris, thank you so much for jumping in.
So great to be here and finally to be talking hockey with you, and obviously this is something that is generally kind of foreign to me as a sports analyst, but of course I am also a giant Predators fan, so I'm happy to do it. I just don't know how much great expertise I can bring on maybe the play-by-play front, but I'm happy to be here.
I know some things that you can bring us expertise on that no one else can, and you have done an fantastic job over the last several years of supporting the Renegades of Puck, and you have been monitoring the trenches over there on the Eastern Front in the Knoxville area. Charlie, it's the battle of I-40, the Carolina Hurricanes. And as a guy who has covered sports for many years, you know that there is plenty of rivalry between the states of North Carolina and the states of Tennessee. So very much looking forward to the first time ever battle of I-40. And I hope this is just the beginning of this rivalry, because Nashville and Carolina could become a massive thing for the NHL in the future.
It could, and it really should. It's almost a shame that it's taken this long, and it's things like this to me, obviously, like bringing hockey to Knoxville has been a long time coming. I don't even know if people in Nashville necessarily know about the Ice Bears here. It's an SBHL team that we've had for a long, long time that's actually been really, really good. They've won a whole bunch of championships and been good, and that has a cult following locally. But the Predators have had a hard time kind of getting into this market. Obviously, 2017 helped. But there needs to be more encouragement to me. And it is working. I mean, I know people in this area that love hockey the way that I do. And it is finally getting here. And I think something like this, what you're saying, the I-40 showdown between Raleigh and Nashville, I mean, it needs to happen, and I'm glad that it is in this big way, especially with the way the Predators are playing, and it's kind of this cool underdog story right now. Obviously, it's easy to sell to people, but slowly but surely, the following in Knoxville is growing. I can tell on my personal Twitter, it used to just be people rolling their eyes if I talked about hockey, and now those people are still out there, but there's also a lot of people that are happy when I talk about hockey and they engage with me. So we're getting there.
Yeah, I'd say, Charlie, just follow up with that. You know, like 10 years ago when I'm coming up there to cover the Vols for Nashville Sports Radio and for the Bill King Show, you know, I'm not seeing a lot of Preds hats or jerseys or T-shirts, and even kind of stopping in the stores along the way to do a little research. Wasn't seeing a whole lot. You seeing more of that? You just said you're having more conversations. It's certainly becoming more of a topic. But over the last decade, and 2017 obviously, again, helped a lot, seeing a lot more Preds gear up there?
Absolutely. I mean, even just the local kind of sports stores here, that it's become one of the hip things to pick up is like Preds gear. Thankfully, I mean, Predators marketing is really good. The jerseys are really cool. They do a great job with all of that. But for sure, it's, it is permeating finally. And the thing that I always find that I try to translate to people, obviously everybody in Knoxville is a football town. It just comes with the territory with the University of Tennessee. Everybody kind of knows that. But translating to people how, I guess you would say, like quick and violent hockey is, where people, kind of translating to them the things that they love about football and saying, guys, it's like this is hockey is hard hitting and more. Trying to get that over to people. And I notice when you can get that through to somebody who's a giant football fan, they tend to really get it and really love it. And hopefully something like this, a matchup between North Carolina and Tennessee, can help with that.
The physical nature of hockey is often the gateway for many into the sport at the beginning until they start to notice the nuance and the skill and the speed and all of the incredible things about the glorious game. Charlie, I used to love to sum it up by saying, look, it takes the best of college football and it takes the up and down of the NBA. It takes the strategy of Major League Baseball and it also takes the fast pace of NASCAR and the physical nature of all of those things and puts some guys on a couple of steak knives and confines them within boards that are 200 feet by 75 feet. That's a sport that I'm into right there, my friend. I can sit for 2.5 hours and watch that. It brings the best elements of everything out there. And you mentioned Neyland Stadium. You mentioned the Volunteers. And Knoxville, of course, is where you're located, keeping an eye on the trenches over there on the eastern parts of the state. And I need you to keep those Canes fans over on their side of the mountains, Charlie. We're counting on you on that one. But I want to talk to you about something. Charlie, let's have a fun mental exercise right here. Let's say the Preds and the Canes get to remain in the same division and they get to build this rivalry. This best of seven is maybe just the first time of a couple times they meet in the playoffs over the next couple of seasons. And eventually we know the Nashville Predators were in the running to host not the Winter Classic here in Nashville, because that's not possible in Nashville because of the Music City Bowl taking place, of course, over at Nissan Stadium. But I have had this dream, maybe fantasy, that one day the Battle of I-40 between the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes would take place as the Winter Classic in Neyland Stadium in front of 100,000-plus screaming Tennesseans and Caniacs. Charlie, what do you think about that just as a concept? I know right now it is highly unlikely that that happens, but after being at the Cotton Bowl and covering the Predators and the Dallas Stars, all I could think about on that drive home is how cool it would be if the Preds hosted the Winter Classic at Neyland Stadium, and if you bring the Canes over the mountains, I think you add one hell of an environment there. What do you think about that as an idea?
I think that just hearing you talk about it that way gave me chills personally, because is that not the no-brainer of no-brainers to me? Obviously, I don't know that tons of hockey fans, say like the folks that live in Canada, really understand what the culture is like here around specifically the cathedrals of college football and what those stadiums mean. I guess there have been Winter Classics in college football stadiums before, but never in the South. And I guess that's not true. The Cotton Bowl, even though technically that's not a single college's stadium, but nonetheless, they do play college football games there. Anywho, but at Neyland Stadium, I mean, it just seems like completely obvious to the folks that live here and are hockey fans, right? Because it would just be unbelievable. And what to the point of what we've been talking about already here, getting people engaged locally in this region, it would be so massive for them to be able to go to their favorite football stadium and go see hard-hitting hockey. And especially right now, let's say the dream scenario, obviously this can't happen. It's just too short notice. These things are planned years ahead of time. But Nashville upsets Carolina in this coming series. Please, God, I hope they do. But let's say that happens, and it creates a kind of bitter rivalry going forward, and suddenly you have this fun back and forth between Carolina and Nashville and two really good teams in the league. Hopefully the Predators keep it up and they don't have another giant dip like they did at the beginning of this season. You have two great teams in one of the most sports crazy regions in all of America, and you could just flop of an amazing hockey game right there in one of the best stadiums in the entire nation. It's like I said, it just gives me chills even to think about. It would be unbelievably cool, and I hope that it happens. But how do you have Gary Bettman's phone number? How can we make this happen, man?
I know how to make it happen, and I know how to make it happen through the Neyland Stadium people and the University of Tennessee, because I know there's one thing, Charlie, that they love more than anything, and that's upstaging a stadium that says they have more seats than them. Well, that Winter Classic at the Big House had a certain number that we already know. Neyland Stadium could break that record, and if there's one thing the people of Knoxville love more than anything, it's to claim that they've had more in attendance than anyone else at anything. There's your sales point, Charlie. We got this. Let's get to the city planning meeting.
Let's do it. I will be there if we can get this effort going. I'll be one of the biggest advocates there, waving signs and pushing city council members to make it happen, man.
I'm just going to keep speaking it into existence until it happens one day, and you and I are sitting there right there on the 50 watching one of the most magnificent games ever conceived. Charlie Burris, I can't thank you enough for jumping in the trenches with me and talking a little hockey philosophy, a little best of seven with the Canes and the Battle of I-40. Man, this is some exciting times. You know I've got playoff madness. I can tell that you're catching it pretty quickly. This time next week, man, we're going to be full into it. Can't wait to interact with you, talk to you again about it sometime soon.
Absolutely. This was a ton of fun. Thanks for having me.
Charlie Burris right there on the F&M Bank phone line. I love that dude, man. We've been covering college football side by side here in the state of Tennessee for so many years that it was just natural for me to reach out to him and talk to him about the things going on up Knoxville way. I want to know more about the Preds' influence. I want to know how it's expanding, how it's growing, and I want to know how the trenches are also expanding. He's got a lot to watch for me. He's got to take care of I-40. I'll be letting them Caniacs come on over here to Bridgestone Arena for games 3 and 4. We don't want to see them. They can have their 6,000 at their rank, and we'll have our 12,000 plus here at Bridgestone Arena. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. We got to slip in one more break before the end of this episode of Predneck Nation Radio, right here on Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
I'm Colton Sissons of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the trenches with the Renegades of Puck here at the Strike and Spare Studios on Nashville Sports Radio. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. The Stampede Line's representative center, Colton Sissons, bringing us back from break right there. He is going to play a pivotal role in this best of seven series against the Carolina Hurricanes. Coming up in game one, he'll probably take the opening faceoff, as the Stampede Line has typically done. This Nashville Predators team will take game one Monday night in Carolina, Wednesday night also at Carolina, then Friday and Sunday, games 3 and 4 at Bridgestone Arena, if necessary, and I'm sure it will be. Game 5 will be on Tuesday night at Carolina on the 25th of May, and then the 27th and the 29th, which is a Thursday, Saturday, we'll see the Nashville Predators in Game 6 and Game 7 against this Carolina Hurricanes team. Of course, those games are necessary. In a best of seven, you never know what can happen. We've covered a lot. We've given you a lot to digest during this episode of Predneck Nation Radio here on Nashville Sports Radio, and we appreciate each and every one of you. The last 3 weeks have been incredible here, Monday through Friday. 5 o'clock on your clock means the Renegades of Puck on the radio here at Nashville Sports Radio. It has been a fantastic first couple of weeks. Had a chance to talk with the bosses last night. So far, they are very pleased, but we can always be doing better. Please continue interacting with this radio station at Nash Sports Radio and following them on Facebook and giving them the love that they need to be hearing. It is very important that we keep up the pressure. Just like you're asking the Stampede Line to put the pressure on the Carolina Hurricanes, well, if you want the Renegades of Puck to still exist in the trenches, we got to keep the pressure up. We got to keep increasing our numbers. We got to keep bringing more Renegades to the trenches. We can deliver the goods. We can do it here. We have the capability, we have the horsepower, we have the crew, we have the high council of Renegades. For Charlie Burris over on the Eastern Front, for Chris Mason, for Mostradamus, for Sean C. Smith, for the Ultimate One, of course, Brian Bass and K-Perk out there, bringing those memes that are bringing the recruits to the trenches. Love every one of you guys. Appreciate you so much. Have a great weekend, everybody. Get those jobs at the house done. Playoff madness starts first thing Monday in the trenches right here on Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. Stick taps, love, respect to all.